This is going to have to be a quick one. So this is part two. So if you were unable to be here last week, you'll want to listen to the recording, which you can on our website, cityharborchurch.com, or via iTunes or your podcast app. And also, I do have notes from last week available for you to take in your hand today as well. We are talking, the title that I'm using for this two-part is language. And I'm actually deriving that illustration, which you really will want to hear the intro, because I'm not going to have time to give you a proper intro today. I'm really deriving the introduction from one of the two books that I'm recommending alongside of this two-part message. We have Answering God, The Psalms as Tools for Prayer by Eugene Peterson, and Prayer by Timothy Keller. Two books that are often on the book table and that I highly recommend. And I believe Eugene Peterson, who talks about language as how we learn it, as from while we are in our mother's womb to as infants and toddlers, and the brain is absorbing and the brain is learning a language with our parents, with the voices that are around us as we grow up. It is how we learn language. And what the content of Answering God is talking about is that historically the Psalms have been a prayer book, and there are many denominational traditions that use the Psalms as a book of prayer, 150 Psalms, and would have organized so that you can read through them in a month or a year or whatever set period of time, but so that you would pray through them. One of the benefits of that is that in the Psalms, you may be familiar with this, there is the full range of human emotion, full range of human expression, and there is poetry and obviously words and song, but there is also history, there is also prophecy, there is also a wide variety of forms of literature in the Psalms. And so they serve as us learning a language with God. And last week I talked a little bit about how the nonverbal aspects of language, and how you might have a secret handshake with a friend, or when you say, hey, let's go get coffee, you might mean something different than what other people mean when they say, let's go get coffee. More on that later. So that language can have a context to it, and we can and clearly, as Jesus said, you know, let the little children come unto me, and he lifted up and valued a childlike faith, and that is a beautiful thing. And the wonderful thing about God, and we talked about this in detail last week, is that there is an immediate and an intrinsic, there is a instinctual communication that you can have with God with zero knowledge of the scripture, with really very little in the way of knowledge of the gospel, the good news of Jesus and doctrine and things of that nature. You can pray, you can talk to God, you can listen to God, you can have a conversation with God with very little in the way of language, very little in the way of understanding. But as God does not ask us for blind faith, but instead trust based on understanding, that includes the development of a language that you would have with God. And what we see is that we are all unique people and all equally valued, to be sure, but we have different strengths and weaknesses. We would all have a slightly unique language with God. You might have developed a preference for the things that you like to pray or how you like to pray. And the beauty of learning is that you can learn greater varieties of prayer and how it works, and you can develop new tools, new aspects to prayer. And in this book, it talks about language as a tool and how we as humans like to use tools. And so you can develop more aspects, whether it be a resting prayer, a meditation prayer, a repeating a single word or a single phrase of scripture, or it could be a, you have developed a list of the characteristics of God that are good that you like to start off with. You can develop language with God, but also it is something that should be growing. It is something that should be developing. And obviously, we don't exercise like the common book of prayer, where there are many prayers that are written out for us. There are values to those traditions in that they are helpful to kind of guide you, and they're helpful tools to help you know what to pray when you don't know what to pray. But I'm just going to quickly refer to our introductory text, Jesus speaking, John chapter 15 and verse 7. And we had referred to this a few weeks prior. If you pay attention, we tend to, through the messages, weave themes in the scripture and come back to scriptures and unpack them. Jesus says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, or your translation might say, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. And a part of what I have referred to a couple of times this year is that when we speak to God, it is important for us to understand to whom are we speaking, right? And we're not ordering around a child or somebody who works for us, but we are speaking to God who is in control. And we might, when we are first new believers, we might order God around or we might tell God what to do. But as we grow in our relationship with God, we grow in our understanding that He's in control. He can do whatever the heck He wants to do. And that it is our reasonable response to speak to God with love and respect. And so we talked a little bit about how Jesus gives us this power tool in Luke 11 in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, right? And how you can break down that prayer and how every phrase of that prayer is a helpful template for daily prayer. Something Martin Luther referred to you riffing on the Lord's Prayer as a mode of prayer. Whether that be in 5 minutes or 20 minutes or an hour, you can do that. That's become a part of my daily practice and is very helpful. And what I have learned is that if you deconstruct the Lord's Prayer, every thought, every phrase, you can find a psalm for it. You can find that theme in the psalm to help you further expound upon it. But what I think we can miss if we can be distracted by these words of Christ that are on the screen is that Jesus is talking about the importance of His words, of the living Word of God being inside of us. Last week we referred to the passages from Psalm 119 about the value of the Scripture, the value of the living Word of God. And so reflecting on, unpacking, seeking understanding about, dissecting the Scripture is a very helpful practice. We see a call from the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And His instruction before the Lord's Prayer is, this is how you should pray. And I'm using just this simple thesis sentence that you see on the screen in this two-part message. The teaching of Jesus Christ includes a prayer that is answering God within the context of who God is, His language, and His words found in Scripture. The Scripture is a helpful tool in you learning a language, a prayer language, as it were, in your dialogue, to help your dialogue. And the beautiful thing about this is that Jesus, in John chapter 14, is preparing His friends, His followers, for His eventual departure after His death, His resurrection. And He was saying, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, your advocate, who's going to guide you into truth. And we get greater revelation later on in Romans and talking about how when you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit will help you pray. And that's why we do believe in and exercise a practice of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which can have a development of a prayer language, the God helping you pray when you don't know what to pray. And sometimes that is nonverbal, and so we certainly do believe in that. But in this two-part message, we're talking about how the Scriptures are helpful to help us know what to pray. Now, I want to give us an illustration of how we can pray something personal and private, or pray something in groups with others using a Scripture. Everybody okay? Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39, you may be familiar with this passage. Nothing can remove us from the love of Jesus, right? Nothing can remove us from the love of Jesus. Very important passage. But in that passage, we see this, which is often misunderstood. But if we will come to understand it, we can pray it, and it can be life-changing. Are you ready for something life-changing? Okay, the rest of you, I love you all the way through lunch. In all this, we are more than conquerors. That doesn't sound like we're supposed to be nice people. I thought Jesus people were nice people. Well, let's talk about what this means. In all this, we are more than conquerors. Despite all these things, talking about trials, tribulations, difficulties in life, persecutions. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Now, it's important for us to understand that Paul is not advocating a military overthrow. He's not advocating Christians that are little egomaniacs trying to bring everybody under their control. He's not advocating believers that are trying to manipulate people or boss people around. Hello? That's not what he's talking about. In all this, we are more than conquerors. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. What does this mean, more than conquerors, overwhelming victory? It means to be completely and overwhelmingly victorious, to prevail completely, to conquer, to gain victory, meaning to gain victory that you do not currently have. Hello? You have a struggle in a life. You are receiving defeat in a life. You have a frustration in life, a disappointment in life. He's talking about gaining a victory that you do not currently have. He's actually using wrestling terminology, and in the sport of wrestling, or if you just have siblings and you wrestle, the person who wins is generally the person who has more stamina, more strength. Now, speed, technique, Mike, I know. These are things that are important. I do understand. To get a submission hold, etc., you know, arm bar, whatever your preference. But a part of the language that he's talking about is the kind of stamina, and what that's referring to is strength to outlast the challenge. Strength to outlast the challenge through Jesus who loved us. Does this sound relevant? I can have a victory. I can gain a victory that I do not currently have. I can be someone who is victorious by receiving strength to outlast my challenge through Jesus who loves me. Romans 8:37, in all these things we have complete victory through Him who loved us. This means that with the help of Jesus, you can have strength to outlast your challenge. For 1 John 4:4, we get, I will overcome my enemies because He who is in me is greater than he who is in this world. From 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. From Psalm 60 and verse 12, with God's help, I will do mighty things. From Ephesians 6 and verse 10, I will be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. From Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so, here are a couple of faith statements that you can make based on this scripture. I'll put them on the screen for you. I believe God is in control. Now, hear me out. Sometimes you've got to say this stuff when you're not feeling it. Can anybody bear witness to that?
Amen.
That means like you've experienced it in your life and you think that's true. I believe God is in control. I believe God saved me because He loves me. Sometimes you've got to say that in order to receive it, in order to eventually come to believe it. That's a part of the human experience. It. Say it, somebody. Say it. I believe God saved me because He loves me. I believe God will be faithful to complete it. From another passage, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. I believe I have strength beyond the challenge. I believe I can do all things through Jesus. So last week I talked about have a conversation with God over a scripture. So let's go back to our scripture. In all these things, we are more than a conqueror. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. What that means is when you're not feeling it, when you're feeling defeated, when you're feeling discouraged, you can privately, wherever you are, you can voice text it into your phone. You can pray it. You can shout it. You can just think it. But in private, wherever you are, you can pray, God, I believe that in You I have victory because you love me. And that's not crazy talk. And there's power in it because it's true. There's power in it that goes beyond you. You can be strengthened. Is anybody getting excited about this?
Yes.
You can be strengthened beyond what you currently have by speaking the truth. Your ears need to hear it. And sometimes you are the only one that can let your ears hear it. You can, now listen, just like the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, we believe, help us in our unbelief. You can say to God, God, I'm not feeling like this is true. You can say to God, I don't believe this, but I'm going to try and I'm going to choose to believe it. And God, I will believe. Will you help me believe that I can have victory because Jesus loves me? God, look at the Psalms. God's not afraid of a prayer that says, I hate you, God. He's not afraid of that. He's not afraid of curse words. He's not afraid of bad attitudes. He's not afraid of us believing stuff that's wrong. So get it out of your system. Right?
Right.
Talk it out. But in your talking out, season it with some scripture. Because then it will go from a pity party that's not helpful to an experience that is helpful. You spend more time articulating this, and if you missed last week, I've got notes for you. You can listen to it. I want to put something else in your hands. Can you help me hand those out, please? Ross, could you help me, please? So, on this chair up front, I'm going to have from our message on healing. If you didn't get this paper, please, you know, I got extra copies. Take them, use them. This talks about praying the scripture over the issue of healing. This is available. And then these are the notes from last week, okay? Thank you. Now, what I've put in your hand, if you feel like folding it, I was going to. Sorry, I ran out of time this morning. I was going to fold it for you this morning. The way that I was going to fold it was like this. So I'm just laughing at myself. Can we just, you can laugh at me. It's okay. And what I was going to do is fold it so that the one that was on the front is a section that says, Lord, please help me grow stronger in my personal relationship with you. Please help me grow in my understanding of who I am and who you are. In faith, I pray through these verses and make the following statements. I believe God created me in his image. So you don't have to fold it, but that's how I was going to fold it, so that was on the front, okay? So what I want to do in our closing 5 minutes is give you an opportunity to pray, but I want to explain a little bit about how we can grow in our prayer. Now, in this church, I have exercised self-discipline, self-control, to respect people coming into this church from a wide variety of traditions or no tradition. I come from a church family that prays loud and like everybody at the same time. I always thought that was really confusing and it shouldn't be like that, just to be honest. And I still, when I go into my home church in Portland and go into some of those prayer meetings, feel a little like this is confusing. 1 Corinthians would say we should do this a little different. But I do want to say this, that in the life of our church, I'm a little bit feeling like we need some louder prayer. And let me just explain what I mean. I think we need some prayer where we're making faith statements and we're saying it with some gusto. And you can be very passionate and be silent. I do understand that. And you don't need to pray long or loud. What I'm trying to say is, I want us to pray with some faith statements and kind of feel it to help us grow stronger. We are in a time and in a place where there is so much distraction, so much pain, so much trauma, so much brokenness, and so much confusion. So many different voices that are around us at all times via every device. So much confusion. What God wants you to have is peace and childlike faith. And sometimes what that means is you need to shut out even some other preaching. We can get caught up on the web and so many sources that we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us with some simplicity, with one foot in front of the other. And listen, I am not God's gift to preaching, okay? I get it. I have plenty of problems with the quality of my own preaching. So listen, I'm not saying that I'm the best, but what I am saying is that there, in our lives, we can get frustrated and confused and not feel life and not feel joy because we are drinking from too many sources, and we can get overwhelmed with options and overwhelmed. This person's really passionate about that, and this person's really passionate about that, and that person has an awesome teaching about this, and that person has an awesome teaching about this. And at the end of the week, I'm like, I don't know what the heck to do. And then we're bombarded by culture and people and news, and like, there's what trustworthy news source is left? Can we just be real? If the New York Times and the Washington Post are being sued because they don't have journalistic integrity that they did 30 years ago, we got a problem. I'm not trying to bash whatever you love. Here's what I'm trying to say. We should be informed. Y'all know, I believe you should vote. You should vote with you. But your first relationship is between you and God. The Bible says we are neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek. We are a Jesus follower first. Are you making your relationship with God number one? And what I find is that when God leads us, He leads us with simplicity. And a result of a good relationship with God is some clarity and some peace and some understanding about what God is speaking to me right now. And so what I am hearing from the Lord is that we need a clarion call. The voice of Jesus like a trumpet, where we know that is what God is saying. And so what I'm calling us to is let's pray the Scripture and speak the Scripture into our own lives and into our homes, into our workplaces, into the streets, and let's have some spiritual clarity. So here, identity issues. On this front page, here's what I mean by we could pray with some more gusto. We could have some prayers, and I think we should come in and pray, God, I'm not feeling good. I'm not, Yes. And then we can have a turn where we say, God, I believe that in the face of all that I just spoke, all my dissatisfaction and frustration, I believe you created me in your image. Right? And God, I believe you chose me before I was born because the Scripture says it. Right? And God, I believe that you are slow to anger and full of unfailing love, and you're forgiving. And God, I believe that Jesus died so that the guilt of my sin would be removed and lives today that I might have life. So here's what I'm saying. You can personally and in private pray those things with some passion, with some gusto, and then we can gather in small groups and gather here. And I would call you, please come. 9:30 every Sunday morning, prepare your spirit for worship in the morning. Enjoy the prayer time that happens here every Sunday. And when we do, let's pray the Scripture. And so what I've done is just assemble, and there are different themes, right? Some different themes, but what we really have here is some spiritual strength themes, personal identity themes, and spiritual strength themes. And then if you folded it the way that I did, on the back, what you have is a list of short prayers that other believers prayed in Scripture, from which you may be able to glance over and come up with one that speaks to you. So the prayer of Moses, please show me your glory. Why is that important? God, I'm living in a city, I'm living in a neighborhood that has a tremendous amount of brokenness and confusion and pain. God, in my neighborhood, will you show me your glory? Does that make sense? The prayer of Joshua. What does my Lord say to his servant? God, will you speak to me? God, what are you saying to me today? The prayer of Samuel. Speak, for your servant is listening. The prayer of Solomon. Give to your servant an understanding heart. The prayer of Elijah. Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel. the prayer of Elisha, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Are you ever talking to somebody who is spiritually blind? There's a prayer for that. So, let's close in prayer. I went a little longer on explanation. Praying the scripture brings life, it brings strength, it brings encouragement, and it can really help. And I would just encourage you, in your home, in your small group, wherever you are, pray the scripture. Pray the scripture. Amen? Lord, thank you so very much that you've brought us together with your clarion call. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the scripture with words to say, with language to learn, that we can learn about the character of who you are, that we can grow in faith, that we can pray this word, that I can have victory, strength to outlast my challenge because of you who love me through Jesus, Lord, that we can pray simple things like that and feel stronger and be encouraged. And Lord, I pray that you would please help us to hear your voice, to pray your word, to grow stronger in our faith. I thank you for it, Lord, and for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here today. So good to see you today. Grace and peace to you. Have a good week.
Really good. I was doing a little of this morning. We are overwhelmed with cockroaches still after bombing for the 3 times.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And then there's going to be another bombing coming on Wednesday from the Montana place. So I was saying, declaring.